It's a privilege and a challenge to be up here this morning and talking to you all. The topic of my talk is rules. Now, as a young boy, I loved spending my Christmas holidays on my uncle's farm in Forbes. I learnt at an early age of 12 to operate different types of machinery, drive my uncle's ute and his truck. Now, back home and 5 years later, at the age of 17, I got my driver's licence. Along with my licence came a set of rules that needed to be kept. I was on public roads now and there were speed signs to obey. Blinkers had to be used to indicate my intention to turn or change lanes, and the wearing of seat belts had been made compulsory that same year. Not at all like driving around the farm. Rules, rules and more rules. Life is full of rules. We're all subject to rules. Rules at home, rules in the classroom, rules in the playground, rules on the road, rules on the sporting field, rules at work, and so on. Imagine a football game without rules. How would you know when someone was offside? And drivers who ignore the road rules can cause serious accidents. Children not obeying their parents' rules get into serious trouble. Some people don't like rules. They see them as a restriction, something to stop them from doing as they please. Some even think that they're made to be broken or bent, that there are too many rules and they're hard to keep. How many times have you been in a hurry and driven down the M4 at 120 k's an hour, knowing too well that the speed limit's only 110? Have you ever seen a sign that says keep off the grass and been tempted to walk on it or touch wet paint just to see if it's really wet? Whether we like it or not, rules are put into place for our benefit. They allow us to know the difference between right and wrong, to keep order so that things are just and fair. Break the rules and there are consequences and penalties. God's rules are no different. They are here for the benefit of mankind. As Christians, we believe that the Bible is the Word of God and acknowledge it to be the ultimate authority of the Christian life. The Bible, particularly in the Old Testament, is full of rules. As early as Genesis chapter 2, Adam was forbidden by God to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, a rule which we all know was broken, and sin entered the world. Many laws are still essential today, and they are all intended to give us a deeper understanding of what God expects and how he wants us to live in relationship with him and others. Most people, even non-Christians, are familiar with the Ten Commandments. We use them in our services as a statement of God's righteous standards. We consider some laws to be binding today, such as do not murder and do not steal, while other laws, such as those that prohibit eating certain foods, are not relevant to us today. God gave his laws to his people Israel. These laws were part of the Old Covenant and were about establishing and maintaining the relationship between God and the nation of Israel. They expressed the will of God, told the people what to do and what not to do, warning them of penalties for disobedience. Obedience to the law was an obligation of God's people. When the law was broken and relationship was needed to be restored, a sacrifice was required. They laid guilt on a sheep or a goat, which was then killed. True, God prescribed all this. Yet all these sacrifices and pitiful attempts of making amends were inadequate. Despite the law, people kept on sinning. So let's take a closer look at our verse today, Galatians 3, verse 24. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. What does it mean? So the law was our guardian. Guardian here can be seen as the disciplinarian or custodian. A guardian was usually a slave who was given the special task of looking after a young boy, disciplining and supervising his activities. He was not a teacher. The guardian was responsible for taking the boy to the teacher, who would give instructions appropriate to the boy's standing. The guardian watched over the boy from around about the age of 7 to 17, taking him to school and to other places, ensuring that he acted appropriately. The law was not the teacher that made the way of salvation clear. The law was the guardian who, if followed properly, would point to the Saviour. So the law was our guardian until Christ came. The law was temporal. its confinement only lasted until a certain time. It would be terminated when Christ came and paid the penalty for sin through his death on the cross. Obeying the law never rescued anyone from their sin. Christ rescued us and set us free from the oppression of the law. He fulfilled the law, and the promise of salvation came only through God's saving grace in Christ Jesus. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Not by works of the law. No amount of law keeping could bring salvation. It comes through faith alone. We are justified when God declares sinners righteous, removing the guilt and penalty of sin through Christ's atoning sacrifice. The law was only a shadow of good things to come. The law revealed sin, but was unable to save. It couldn't restore Israel's relationship with God, and sacrifices were inadequate. So there was only one true sacrifice, that of Jesus Christ. The law shows our need for a saviour, our need for God's saving grace, because we can't obey the law and we can't save ourselves. Just like the dentist's mirror can show which tooth has the cavity but can't fill it, God's law reveals the problem of sin, but it doesn't provide a solution. The answer is found in Jesus Christ, who bore our guilt on the cross and now offers new life. When we put our faith in him, our personal saviour, he forgives us and enables us to live by his strength in ways that please him. What the law couldn't do, Christ could. What does that mean for Christians today? If we are no longer under law but grace, how does that affect the way we live? Well, if we are God's people and have put our faith in Christ, we want to live in obedience to him, trusting God and allowing him, through the Holy Spirit, to work in our lives. We should be striving to become more like Jesus, relying on him and not ourselves. Not because it gets us anything, but because of our love for him, we want to do his will. Has the law gone? Obviously, those laws about sacrifices are finished in the one and complete sacrifice of Christ, but other laws still exist. When Christ came, he fulfilled the law. He did not abolish the law or the prophets, as Christ himself said in Matthew 5, verse 17. And according to John 14, verse 15, if we love Jesus, we are to keep his commandments. And in Matthew 22, when the Pharisee asked him, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." These two commandments sum up them all, giving us instruction about our relationship with God and with others, and we are called to obey them. So are we free from rules and the law? Because of what Christ has done, we are free from the law of sin and death, as Paul says in Romans 8, verse 2. However, this by no means gives us the right to continue to sin, break the rules or flaunt the law just so we can receive even more grace. According to Romans 13, verse 1 to 7, we are to obey the government God placed over us, its rules and regulations, many of which are based on God's law. If we do not, we are ultimately showing disrespect towards God. Do you live by law or by faith? Paul makes a distinction between those who are under the law and those who are in Christ. Everybody belongs to one or the other category. If under the law, we are still in bondage. If you are in Christ, you live by faith and you have been set free. So are we still supposed to keep the law today? We wouldn't even know the difference between right or wrong if the law didn't tell us what to do and what not to do. It's quite clear in Scripture that God's love through Jesus fulfills the law. It's obvious that laws and rituals I mentioned earlier about eating certain foods and offering guilt sacrifices are no longer relevant, nor will keeping the set of laws earn us salvation. But we don't just ignore God's commands and become a lawless society. In fact, we have a great motive for obedience to God, an eternity with him. Every believer is a new person in Christ. Therefore, he and she loves God and their neighbour. This timeless law of God is written on our hearts now, and obedience should be the priority of our lives. The book of Hebrews compares the old life under the law and the new life under God's forgiving grace. We read in chapter 10, verse 11 to 12, that under the old covenant, the priest stood day after day performing his religious duties, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which could never take away sins. But Jesus, our high priest, offered himself as a sacrifice for sins, once for all time, and now is seated in the place of honour at God's right hand. The writer of Hebrews goes on to quote from Jeremiah 31. This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write on them on their minds. He then adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin no longer necessary. So can we say, as the psalmist says in Psalm 40, verse 8, I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Amen.